Okay, and we're ready to roll. So we'll get started. So first of all, I'm just going to say this is Claire Coyne. I'm interviewing Helen Mawson on Friday the 3rd of October 2014 at the Mola premises. And so Helen, first of all, could I ask you to just give me your full name?
My full name, Helen Mary Mawson.
Okay, and you're happy to be referred to as Helen?
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely.
And do you mind telling me your year of birth?
1938.
Okay, fantastic. And whereabouts were you born?
In Greater London, near Hanwell, which has become famous for all the wrong reasons
Oh
at the
dear,
moment. Yeah,
yes.
but in Greater London.
Okay, lovely. And what did you do, just in one sentence, throughout your working life?
Teaching.
Okay, in a school.
School and university.
Lovely, okay. And again, just in one or two sentences, it just helps us get the sort of social context for people. Your mum and dad, how were they gainfully employed during their working lives?
My mother was a full-time housewife. My
Mm-hmm.
father was a plumber.
Lovely, okay, thank you. Well, we'll crack on now with the main reason why you've kindly come along, which is to chat about your visit to the Temple of Mithras site. So I'm just going to plunge straight in and ask you what your lasting impression is of that visit.
The crowds and the excitement of seeing, on my part for the first time, a real Roman site. I'd seen sculpture before, artifacts, but never an actual Roman site, a building that the Romans had used. I'd studied them at school, but never seen one. So that to me was the most exciting thing, walking around, peering at it, looking down.
So it sounds like you were able to make something quite real of it. You had enough understanding
Yes.
to really perceive what would have been going on at the time.
I'd just embarked on A level Latin and Greek, and I'd taken an O level Latin. And although in those days it was language, not civilization, I'd become very interested in places like Pompeii, though of course I'd never been there.
So, what made you go down there that day? How did you find out about it?
Oh, the press. I think also, apart from the newspapers, there was the Illustrated London News, which always took a lot of interest in archaeology. And I certainly read it up in there afterwards. And there was general discussion about it at school, and I think probably a few of us got together. We'd just gone into the sixth form, and we liked the feeling that London was our oyster, we could go where we liked and see things that were interesting. I suspect five or six of us went, but I'm not sure.
So, can you remember who you went with at all?
I assume it was other people in the Latin group, but I'm not sure. But all I remember, I think we went to Mansion House Station, which was easy for us. We came from West London straight through on the District Line, and I think probably the moment you got out of the station, you hit the queue, so it wasn't hard to find.
You could more than follow your nose.
And of course, we were used to queuing in those days. It was part of our lives. Nobody thought anything of it. Standing in a queue for a couple of hours or longer was what you did.
Well, that's interesting because of rationing and things, people have been
Oh,
used to queuing.
yes. I mean, one of my earliest memories is queuing up to buy fish for my pet cat. you queued for everything, so why not see a Roman temple?
And do you remember chatting with people in the queue? Do you know how you passed the time?
No, probably. We'd have had books, of course, because we were intellectuals. We'd have chatted to each other. I don't know that we talked to other people in the queue. I don't remember that aspect of it. It wasn't like the fish queue.
And can you remember anything about the weather, what you were wearing?
Oh, I'd have been wearing a duffel coat, of course. We all had duffel coats.
It sounds very smart and very appropriate.
Well,
Because it was the end of September, wasn't it? Beginning of
yes,
October.
yes, yes.
Do you know how far through the 2 week period that you went? Have you got any diary entries or anything?
No, I never kept a diary. I don't suppose it was on the first day. It was probably about halfway through. And it was a time when we were very patriotic and very proud of London, because it was the year after the coronation, of course, and a few years after the Festival of Britain. And these were tremendous excitements coming after all the austerity and so forth. So there was great enthusiasm, something new that put London on the map and made it important. We all wanted to be there.
Could I just ask you to say that again? Because that was lovely what you were describing, and it's really relevant for us about the austerity. We're going to put a sign up on the door as well. This is the guinea pig part of the experience. So yes, you were saying it was very exciting because...
It was very exciting to be a Londoner at that time, and to be British too, but particularly we were proud of London. And one thing I haven't mentioned before, but I was aware of as we came through here, I went to a school with very strong city links, although we were out in the suburbs. We began in Hoxton, because I went to Haberdashers Esk's girls' school. And so all through our time at school, we'd had the city of London drummed into us, and the livery companies, and Robert Esk, our founder, and so on. So we were proud of London, we were proud of being British, and after years of austerity, the excitement of rebuilding London, and then in the process, as a bonus, you came across these priceless Roman artifacts and remains. It was a real excitement. We all wanted to be there. And coming after the coronation, which was only actually in the previous year, and the Festival of Britain as well, it was a great time to be in London. And we wanted to get out and see things, and we could. It was much easier in those days in many ways than it is now.
In what respect?
Well, because you felt safer. And I travelled to school by myself. My parents let me come up and sleep on the Mall the night before the coronation with a school friend, just one friend, the two of us went. So the following year, there was nothing going up to the city to see the Temple of Mithras. There was, you know, they didn't bother about that. We just went. And I think nowadays, you know, Mummy and Daddy would have tagged along too, or made a fuss or something. We were much luckier, I think, much more fortunate.
Yes, I can see what you're saying.
Although we grew up amidst great austerity.
Well, going back to the Temple of Mithras, you were saying you were very, very excited to see it and you loved walking around. Is there anything that stands out from being on the site, any particular moment or anything that you saw that stands out as a specific?
No, because I don't think the sculpture was displayed alongside it. But I just remember looking down at the masonry and thinking, you know, this is real Roman workmanship and people entered this building and did interesting things here. And that was the important thing. You just, when you actually see it, you're close to it, you could touch it.
And how do you think that experience has endured for you during your life?
Well, the following summer, I was off on my bike to St Albans because we'd been on a school trip there and seen some excavations, and I gathered they wanted volunteers. So we went to have a look, came back, told my parents, and went off with a school friend and a tent and camped in a field. And I remember my mother said, "Has the gate got a lock on it?" I said, "Of course it hasn't got a lock on it."
So you were off, then it really...
Oh yes, because having seen this one thing, I thought, well, where can I go that's not too far? And the summer after that, we were down at Maiden Castle and places like that. I think also I should mention the influence of television, because there were archaeology programmes, the eponymous Mortimer Wheeler and so forth, did a tremendous amount. And I noticed at my school, about 2 years below me, the uptake of Greek shot up because of these, I'm sure it was because of these archaeology programmes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Greek was always very much a minority. Latin everybody did because you needed it to go to a good university to study any art subject. But Greek was a rarity. And I think really in the wake of this great interest in archaeology on television, people were rushing in to take O-level Greek, which wasn't an easy option.
And you remember watching the programmes on television?
Oh, yes, yes indeed.
What was it that you liked about Mortimer Wheeler's programme in particular?
Oh, I liked seeing artifacts, hearing people talk about them, seeing the different experts.
And you went on to study at university, you went on to study...
Yes, I did. Ancient history, philosophy, and the two languages, Latin and Greek.
And is that something, are those areas what you went on to teach in as well?
Yes, my first job was at a university in Sierra Leone, which was part of Durham University, where everybody studying arts had to take a classical subject at the end of year one. And my job as a very young teaching fellow out there was to get these students through. After that, I joined the British Council, worked for them abroad, doing general administrative work, and didn't come back to teaching until I had children who were able to look after themselves, and I thought, now what can I do? So I did a PGCE and became a teacher, but that was when I was 40.
And were you teaching in those subjects?
Yes, yes. Cambridge Latin course has a lot of archaeology and history in it, and I taught that.
So you mentioned your children, and you talked about having this lifelong interest yourself in history and archaeology. Would you say your children absorbed any of that enthusiasm and passion?
I think they did, yes. Yes, our son read history with landscape archaeology at the University of East Anglia, which was a very interesting course. Sadly, the person who started it died halfway through his course, but that was very interesting. And our daughter read English and Latin, looking at comparing the two literatures at Warwick. So, yes, a bit of that did rub off.
Sounds like it, yeah. So going back specifically to the Temple of Mithras again, before we started chatting on record, you were talking about where the temple was recited to.
Yes.
So you obviously went to see it after it had been recited?
Yes, long, long after, perhaps 10 years ago. And I just thought it looked out of place because it was high up, wasn't it? And this was absolutely wrong. It should have been underground. In the meantime, I'd seen a Mithraeum in Rome, which was underground, underneath two Christian churches. And I thought it should be underground. It shouldn't be just stuck up with traffic and so forth. You know, it should be a secret place. So I'm glad to hear it's going back to Bucklesbury House.
Well, the Bucklesbury House site, yes.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be a new building there.
Yeah. But it'll be undercover, will it?
As I understand it, it'll certainly be at the correct level below ground at which it was discovered. Yes.
Yes,
and I understand it will be covered.
Wonderful. That's good news.
So we talked a bit about the mood of the country at the time, because what we're really interested in is how... It was predicted that hundreds of people might flock to see this site, but in fact it was hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
And so there was something really sparked the public imagination. You talked about that a bit.
Yes.
Is there anything else?
No, I just think it was a time when, after years of living a very restricted life, which we'd had to do in the war, and in constant fear, you suddenly felt London was there and you could explore it and it was safe. And there was much to see and much to be proud of and much to enjoy.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a unique time because of all the bomb sites and then these wonderful...
It was great to think of London
emerging.
Yes, being rebuilt. And then when this sort of exciting thing emerged out of the ruins, that was tremendous.
And how much did you know about Mithras himself at the time?
Very little. I knew a bit about mystery cults, and I'd come across the cult of Isis in particular, because there was a temple of Isis at Pompeii, which we'd studied. I mean, we hadn't been to, but looked at pictures of and so on. So I understood about this concept of mystery gods, but I didn't know much about Mithras until this turned up. And that was very exciting, because I think he was actually quite big in Roman Britain, and with the army and so forth, and the business community. So is I did become very interested after that. And in many cases, Mithraea turned into churches or were taken over by Christians and converted into churches. But I believe this didn't happen in London.
Well, I'm not an archaeology expert or a historical expert. I'm oral historian, but not so much on the detail of some of these things. But as I understand it, no. But
Although both had the apse at the West End, which Christian churches did in those days, but don't anymore. Anyway, I look forward to seeing it in its new, you know, in its original surroundings, as it were.
Yes,
when it's reinstalled.
It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. Right, let me just check my prompt list and see if there's anything else that I wanted to ask you about, Helen. I think that's probably it. I mean, I am going to round off with another couple of questions, but I think we've covered the body really beautifully. What I tend to ask people towards the end is if there was a young person in the room now, I don't know if it would be a grandchild or a great niece or whoever, and you wanted to describe to them why for you archaeology and history is meaningful, how would you express that? What would you share with them?
Well, for each of our grandchildren, we have two grandchildren in primary school. And for each of them, when they come to do the Romans, I have got two real Roman lamps, which I allow them to take to school. And I say to the class teacher, I want the children to handle these. I'd like you to pass them round the class and let each child hold one, because I think that's terribly important. And I hope for some of them, they'll understand the fascination of thinking of all the other people who held the lamp, who lit it, and so forth.
That's lovely. That's a lovely image. So there's something about the tactile experience that gives a sense of continuity as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yes, and if you can handle what is a genuine artifact and not a copy, I think that's quite important. And so far they've returned intact, unbroken, and I was told they had been handed round as I'd asked.
And how did your grandchildren respond to that responsibility of taking the lamp?
Oh, in a way they didn't quite understand, but they knew it was something they had to look after.
And just finally, Helen, because we've been in the press a little bit and you'll have been thinking about coming to the interview today, when you've been chatting about coming, has anybody else sprung to mind that went to visit the site? Or,
well, I have got a school friend who lives in Ely who might have been there. I haven't been in touch for a while, but if it's not too late, I could send her an email and talk about today. Is there any way that fares could be reimbursed? I don't know whether this would be an issue for her or not, but if she did come up to London for a day. I know she often goes to Cambridge because she's had quite a sort of academic career too.
Yeah, fares can absolutely be reimbursed, and also we can travel to people as well if somebody doesn't want to travel too far. So both options are possible. Whatever would be most appropriate for you.
I will mention it to her. Yeah, and if anything comes of it, I'll send you an email because I've got your address.
Lovely, thank you. And we'll be interviewing people right up until the end of November. So if anybody else
so
brings
to mind...
So there
will be time.
There's definitely time, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think now I've done it, I'll go home and... Well, I'm meeting somebody first, but then I'll go home and splash out an email and see what she says.
Lovely, thank you. And is there anything else you'd like to add just before we wrap up?
No, I don't think so. No, I feel I've come home today in a way because I've walked past where my school originally, the Haberdasher Estate, that must be the place in Hoxton where the school was first built and then it moved to Acton Ealing. Now, of course, it's out at Elstree. Totally different.
Yeah, but by coming here, you've had
a bit of a
full circle.
Just like when we went up to the city, you know, to see the Mithraeum. That's the first time I'd actually set foot in the city. Although we'd heard so much about it at school.
And you said you came from West London on...
when we travelled up to see the Mithraeum, we'd have come on the district line all the way from, in my case, Chiswick Park, in other cases, Hounslow or Ealing Broadway, because the Richmond, somewhere like that, and then all the way through to Mansion House.
Golly, I didn't realise that had been your first trip to central London. That's
the city of London.
Oh, the city of London,
I've been
sorry.
Lots of times okay. to yeah. central London, and the West End, Buckingham Palace, places like that, just to look around St James's Park. And lots of music things in London too, but not in the city, not in the square mile.
Yes, which I suppose felt
very different, yes.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you so much.
I think it's been a pleasure. We've probably covered
everything, so thank you for your time.
But it's just the feeling for that particular time. It was very special to be... And I was interested to see Churchill's name mentioned on your sheet too, that he had to defend it in cabinet, which I'm sure he'd have done very ably. He had a great sense of history. Right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.